I pray, Daddy, that while I'm speaking, you go and heal the hearts. Heal them and set them free and go deep in their hearts and touch those places where no man can touch, nobody can touch, but only you can. And the same way you did in my life, do it again, Lord. Do it again. In the name of Jesus. Song of Songs in chapter 8, verse 6 to 7 says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love, rivers cannot wash it away. If one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned. That's my daddy's love. Love it. I cannot be silenced. I have a surprise for you guys. Can you give me the basket? You know that I am a lover. I'm a hugger and a kisser. So I want to give you today kisses in abundance. So you just pass out these, and you can, guys can have as many kisses as you want. This is that aisle I'm going to give for this one. But please, the papers don't put on the floor, okay? But if you want another kind of kiss, I am available too, okay? Later. You just pass. Don't be shy, okay? If you are an extravagant lover, I think you love kisses. So just go for it. I love you guys. Every time I go someplace else, I have to buy kisses. I love it. That's why my ministry is called Radical Lovers. We love kisses, don't we, love? He loves kisses. I know that. I know that for sure. I love too. Okay. I have some things to tell you before I begin. First of all, you are allowed to laugh about my accent. That's fine. But if I see you laughing, I will have to ask you to repeat a word in Portuguese. And then I'm going to laugh. Deal? Okay, good. Good. Just kidding. But you can laugh. And yeah, some years ago, we were not even dating, and I called Gary and told him that I had bees for dinner. And he said, you had what? I said, bees, peas, that little green ball, something like that. So you guys translate yourselves or translate me. If you don't understand, come and ask me, okay? I was born in Africa, Angola. Angola was a colony of Portugal. Pastor John asked me to share my testimony, and it's really long. I'm, 50 years in telling, 50 years in just 40 minutes, it's going to be complicated for me. So if you guys want to go, you're free to go. But I can guarantee you that the best part is at the end. So you're going to miss that. But you are free to go. I'm fine with that. I'm not going to feel offended or anything. So, and another thing in Africa, to become a pastor in Africa, you have to be able to speak for at least 6 hours. So I am very well trained on that. I promise be a little bit less, like 5:59. It's going to be okay. Okay. I was born in Africa, and Africa, Angola was a colony of Portugal. If you make counts, I was born in 1960 and was more or less a time where Angola was want to be independent from Portugal. Angola, Mozambique, and some other colonies of Portugal, they wanted the independence, as many other places want to be independent from some countries in Europe. I had the most amazing and beautiful childhood that anybody could ever have. My grandparents, they lived in the jungle. My grandfather, the father of my mom, he was one of the first pioneers to go to that country, and he lived in the midst of the tribes. And while you guys were born and grew up with the stories on Walt Disney, I was born with the stories on the jungle. Lions and tigers and wolves and all these kind of things. And it was really exciting for me. My best time as a child was in my grandparents' house, where my grandfather would put me on his lap and would tell me stories and would teach me so many things. And when I was around 6 or 7 years old, we were Catholics, by the way. I was around 7 years old, I had a kind of an injury by a mosquito, a bite, and it got infected in this leg. And I got fever, and my mom took me to the doctor, and he said, well, she will have to amputate the leg. And that began like a very difficult time for my parents, and they took me to my grandparents' house. I was really excited because I was going to spend time with them. And he took me there because there was a missionary there. They were doctors, and they were missionaries, and they were the first ones to build a hospital in the jungle as missionaries, and they were Adventists or something like that. And that's how I began to work with missionaries there, because the doctor began to take care of me, and for 6 months I was there into that place. One thing I want to tell you is that God uses circumstances, always uses circumstances to teach us something. If we can turn around and see how God teaches us, and when you are going through some circumstance, you, instead of looking at the circumstance, you can just say, Lord, what are you telling me here? What do you want to teach me here? But in that time, I didn't know anything, but what happened in that specific period of my life when I was in treatment, later in my life, God brought me into my mind that memory, and I had a breakthrough because of that. And that's why I want to share with you that part. During that period of 6 months, my leg was so, so bad that I had to go to the hospital twice a day, and I had to make a very, very painful treatment on my leg. It was like three. You can imagine, this was 1966 in Africa. We don't have the technology here, okay? That is in Africa, jungle, okay? My treatment was 3 minutes in very, very cold water and 1 minute in a very, very, very hot water. And it was for 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening. My grandfather would go always with me. And during that moment, although the treatment was really painful, he would put me on his lap. And he would hug me very close, and you'd say, don't forget I love you. Don't forget I'm here. You are really brave. I'm so proud of you. Just go for it. If you want to cry, you can cry, but I'm here. So, I miss him. When I cry, I cry because I'm grateful. I'm healed, okay? I am not ashamed of crying, believe me. And when I went through all my difficulties in life, that image was very strong in me. And that's what helped me keeping going and going. Because if my God told me one day, if your grandfather could do that for you, what do you think I do for you? In the most difficult times, in the most painful moments, I am here with you. I am here. And I always can hear his voice when the times of difficulty, when struggles come, when things come in my life, I can always hear his voice. I'm here. Why? Because I'm just really close to him. I know the key. When I am in difficulty, when I am struggling, I run to his arms. There's nothing else in my life that matters the most than to be in his arms. Well, I spent 6 months there, and God healed me. And I went back to the city, and in 1974, I had a normal life as a child. There are some details I will have to go on, because really it's a long story. And but I want to encourage you, when my book is out, you can buy it, and you're going to be blessed for sure. It's not about me, it's about him. Okay? So I went back to my city in Benguela, I was born. And in 1974, there was a revolution in Portugal what stirred up the time for Angola to be independent. And what happened was that there were some guerrillas being prepared in the jungle, and they were helped one part by Cuba and Russia, and another part in south of Angola by United States and South Africa. And when the revolution happened in Portugal, the capital of Angola, Luanda, became a field for war, because these two guerrillas came to the city and began to fight in the city. And in the rest of Angola, we were like 500 kilometers, I don't know, miles. We were away from Luanda, and we thought that would never happen. It will be just in the capital. But that was not true. Few months later, we were sleeping one night, and the bombardment began in our city. For 2 years, our lives changed completely. What was normal in our lives became completely... We couldn't ever imagine that we would see what we saw. Let me breathe here. For 2 years, I saw people being killed in front of me, friends. We would go to the school, and we would sit in the classes, and the teacher would begin to read the list of the names of the people, and she would say, this was killed yesterday, that one was burned with the whole family, that another was raped, the other was this and that. For three times, different times, when I was walking in the streets, I was with some of my friends, and I would just change the place with her or with him. And for three times that happened, they were shot and they died in front of me. If I had been there in 5 seconds before, I would have been killed. But God had a purpose. And I don't know what is your situation today. I don't know what you're going through, but God has a purpose in your life. Don't you never, ever dare to think that you are a mistake. Because our God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't, and you are not a mistake. The little details, he takes care of the simple little details as that. I just changed position. I was here 3-4 seconds after I was here, and the person here was dead. I don't know why he didn't allow me to be dead, and he allowed the person to be dead. For many years, I struggled with that. But finally, I said, okay, God, it's up to you. I cannot understand that. Another time, I remember very clear, my mom was a teacher in a nun school, and we were studying there. It was the richest school in town. And whenever the bombardment would begin, we would run there and hide there because the building was really strong. For you to have an idea was every time we would go out of our houses, we could fill our hands with the how you call it, when you shoot, and they were fixed on the walls outside of the house, and you could feel your hands. And sometimes we would see pieces of bodies spread and dead, and things like that. For 2 years, we lived in that situation. And one time, we were in Angola, we were at home, and my dad said, I have to go to the office. And he took my brother, actually I have a twin brother, and a sister, 6 years younger. And he said, I have to take yours, I go with the Orlando. And my mom said, okay, I go to the school and see what is going on there. And so my mom left me there at the school with my sister, and she went back to a house. And the bombardment began. So my dad was in the office, my mom was at house, and we were in the school. And my mom called and said, I'm going on to pick you guys up. What happens is that the gate of the school was closed. And none of the nuns would not go and open the gate for my mom to come in. Well, I jumped to the window. And there was a building a little bit higher. And from that building, they had heavy weapons in direction of the town. And they were shooting in direction of the school and other places. In the moment I began to run, the shooting was in direction of the school. And I could feel the shooting right on my sides. And none of them touched me. I was able to run to the gate, open the door. It sounds like those kind of movies that you guys see. But it happened. And I went into the car, my mom's car, and we ran. Another time was, there was just one movie theater in town. And that was our entertainment. We didn't have TVs. So all the young people on Sunday afternoon, we would go to the movie. That's where all the young people would meet. So we went there, and there was a guerrilla that was commanding the city, and the other guerrilla came, and they surround the movie theater, and they said if the other guerrilla would not surrender, they would kill everybody that was inside of the movie theater. And they announced that on radio, and all the parents ran to that movie theater. For 11 hours, we were there. And they killed some, and 4 of my best friends were killed. That time I was between 14 and 16 years old. And the traumas on that, I began to understand that later in my life. At the moment, you cannot even think about. At the moment, you just live day by day. You try to escape every single day. Our reality was that in one day, we could be dead, all be dead, or one be dead, and we were living with that reality. Finally, my dad one day received a letter from one of his friends saying that if we didn't run, if we didn't flee in the next day, he had a list of people that he was supposed to kill, and my dad and his family was in the list. And he was my dad's friend, and he really didn't want to kill my dad, but he would have to because he was commanded to do that. So my dad called one of my uncles, and we fled in a boat. We left everything behind. That's what I learned, leaving everything behind. I left everything behind already in my life 4 times. And I can begin again. I don't have a problem with that. There are some things that when you go through situations like that, it's not really important. What I missed the most in all that were my friends. And by the way, I had a boyfriend there, my first boyfriend. George was his name. And he came one night, and we had planned to get married, and really, we were dating like for 2 years or some. I don't remember exactly. But one night he came, and he didn't came ever again. And the news was that probably he was killed. And that was very difficult for me for many, many, many years. I realized that the other boyfriends I had, I didn't have a lot, believe me. The other boyfriends I had, I was looking for George in all of them. And I couldn't find, because we had a great relationship. And it's not, in that time, you know what mean to date, was just holding hands and have all family around you. You had to date, if you was outside, was with your little sister close to you, holding hands, and all the neighbors around. There was no way to do anything wrong, even if you want. Sometimes I did want, you know? And when I would go to the movies with him, was him in one side, my sister in another side, I thought, I'm free from my brother. Well, I'd look behind, there was my brother, like, 2 rows behind, looking. Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy, but, you know, our relationship was really great, and I could listen. He had a motorcycle, and I could listen the motor coming, and I said, "Easy." You know that first love? You think about him, you dream about him, you call him. You just left, and you were calling him. And did you realize it's exactly this kind of relationship that Jesus wants with us? First love. You know, you are so passionate about. Now, you look at the young people. Well, I love my husband. Actually, we did our anniversary last Sunday. Yeah, I love you, baby. He says that he is my redemption project. But I love him. He is the best gift that my God gave me. And God used him to touch and to heal parts in my heart that I thought that I will never, ever, ever be healed. So when God puts people in your life, sometimes it's to heal you, sometimes it's to stretch you, sometimes is to test you, but just love them because they are there anyway. So just love them, you know. I don't want to say anything. But anyway, I had that boyfriend and he was really precious to me and was very difficult. With all these wounds, we took a boat to the capital and we spent 3 days and three nights in a boat. It was the most horrible nights in my life.